and welcome to Why This Movie, a podcast about our favorite movies and why we love them so much. My name is Christopher Alan Maloney. You might have noticed that we've gone down to posting a new episode every 2 weeks instead of every week. So it's just me that works on these things. It's, you know, very small, independent. There's no sponsorship or anything. Like, I have not heard from even the companies that seem to go after every podcast. Like, I've never heard from HelloFresh or BetterHelp, Bombas. I mean, all of those are fine companies, fine products. But my point is, this is just this is pretty much just me, and it really means a lot to me that folks are listening and giving feedback on what they're hearing. But it's just us guys, just the you guys who listen and myself. I mean, we're in this together, and we don't have anyone else helping us out. So what would really help, and always helps with like smaller podcasts like this, is to leave a rating and review. So if you like what you're hearing, I would love to hear why. I would love to hear what you think about it. And it really helps kind of get this out in front of more people. So if you don't mind, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating, say a few words about why you're enjoying it, and hopefully we'll pull more people in to talk about their favorite movies. Today we have a return guest. It's my good friend Trent. He and I have been friends since middle school, and he something I've given him a hard time about, and our other friends have given him a hard time about, is that he doesn't really watch movies that much. I mean, even less than like a casual movie watcher. And we've tried to analyze why that is. But why it works for this podcast is that the movies he has seen, he has very strong feelings about. So I want to welcome back Trent to talk about one of the roughly 4 movies he's seen from beginning to end. You look angry. You look...
No, I just got in from throwing the baseball with my son. So, you know, hard at work doing dad duties.
It's very Americana of you.
Well, kind of on the nose for what we're talking about today, don't you think?
Well, yes, that's a perfect segue into our movie Field of Dreams. In 1989, Kevin Costner starred in Field of Dreams.
If you build it, he will come.
I got bad news for you, as will come from to no surprise to you. I have not seen Field of Dreams.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm here.
No, that's okay. So, Trent. Nice to see you again. Thanks for coming back.
As always, good to see you.
So what movie are we talking about?
We're talking about one of my all-time favorite films. Dare I say, one of the greatest films ever made. Forrest Gump.
In 1994, Tom Hanks would star as the title character in Forrest Gump. Fresh off an Oscar win for his role in Philadelphia, this performance would land him an Oscar for the second time in a row. He was the first actor to win 2 Academy Awards in a row since Spencer Tracy had pulled it off over 50 years earlier. Forrest Gump, born with an inheritance of mental and physical challenges, is raised by a devoted single mother in the Deep South of the 1950s. He wears braces on his legs and is only granted admission into public school after special arrangements are made. It is on his way to school, on a bus, that he meets the person who will become the love of his life.
It's Tiger. Tiger. Can't sit here.
You know, it's funny what a young man recollects, because I don't remember being born.
I don't recall what I got for my first Christmas. I don't know when I went on my first outdoor picnic, but
I do remember the first time I heard the sweetest voice in the wide world.
You can sit here if you want.
I had never seen anything so beautiful in my life. She was like an angel.
You're gonna sit down, aren't you?
Forrest stumbles from one impactful moment to the next, often accidentally, like the feather that's tossed about on the wind during the film's opening sequence. This is how he goes from crossing paths with Elvis Presley to becoming a college football star to eventually serving his country in Vietnam.
At first, it seemed like I made a mistake, seeing how it was only my induction day and I was already getting yelled at.
Sit down if you want to.
I didn't know who I might meet or what they might ask.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No, but I've been on a real big boat.
I'm talking about a shrimp catching boat. I've been working on shrimp boats all my life. I started out on my uncle's boat, that's my mama's brother, when I was about maybe 9. I was just looking into buying a boat of my own and got drafted. My given name is Benjamin Buford Blue. People call me Bubba. Just like one of them old redneck boys. Can you believe that?
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump.
Forrest saves lives in Vietnam before meeting President Johnson and traveling the world as a table tennis champion. He starts a commercial shrimping business as a promise to Bubba, where Lieutenant Dan joins him as a first mate and business partner.
Well, well, Captain Forrest Gump, I had to see this for myself. And I told you if you were ever a shrimp boat captain that I'd be your first mate. Well, here I am. I am a man of my word.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't you be thinking that I'm going to be calling you sir.
No, sir.
Forrest Gump serves as a guide, oblivious though he may be to the major cultural events of the baby boomer generation. Even though his trajectory seems arbitrary, it's his relationships that keep him centered. With his mother, Bubba, Lieutenant Dan, and especially Jenny.
Why are you so good to me?
You're my girl.
I'll always be your girl.
When Forrest runs across the United States for over 3 years straight, it's perhaps a way of processing everything that his generation didn't have the chance to process for themselves. The civil rights movement, the Vietnam conflict, political assassinations, cultural moments. He takes us through all of them, without his character or virtue ever taking a hit. Forrest Gump was a financial and critical success. It won 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor for Tom Hanks.
And I am standing here because the woman I share my life with has taught me and demonstrates for me every day just what love is.
I 1994. How old were you?
I would have been 9 years old in 1994.
Were you aware of it when it came out? And did you see it when it first came out?
Yeah, I did. Surprisingly, I went to the theater and saw it, which I don't think I would have taken. I would not let my 10-year-old today watch Forrest Gump. But I'm fairly confident I saw it not once, but twice in the theater. My mom and dad went to see it. And then I recall the elderly lady who was my babysitter, and a close family friend, she asked my mom if she would take her to the movie because she kept hearing about this Forrest Gump movie. And I remember my mom saying to her, well, it has got some scenes that aren't too friendly. And grandma is what I called her. She wasn't my grandmother, but I called her. Grandma said, oh, that's okay. She said, I haven't been in a theater in so many years, I don't even know what to expect. And my mom looked at her and said, well, they don't play the piano anymore. Well, so I saw it twice. I think I saw it twice.
This was the kind of movie that like crossed over so much that people who didn't go to the movies went to go see it.
Yeah. I think that that was, I obviously don't recall, but because I'm too young, but I wonder what caught everyone's attention, how that was spread. I guess it was through the Tonight Show or the newspaper back then. But for someone like Grandma to be aware of the movie and then want to go, it must have been a moment in culture at that time.
It was. I think it's fair to call it a phenomenon.
Yeah, and I think, I was I've seen the movie dozens of times. I reference the movie in I'm a history teacher. I reference the movie and sometimes use select scenes from the movie to introduce a topic in class. And but in preparing for talking to you about it, I went back to look at the Academy Awards for the year that it won, right? And it occurred to me that in that time, 94, 95, 96, all of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture back then, granted there were few of them, I had seen a very significant number of all these movies. And I feel like they were much more part of the culture than maybe whatever the Best Picture movie in the re most recent years has been. So I think that the movie makes me nostalgic, not
For the
for
1960s.
the, yeah, I wasn't around in the 1960s or the 70s, or I was around in the 80s, but I don't remember it. But it makes me nostalgic because watching the movie reminds me of a time when a movie could be a blockbuster, could be at the center of pop culture and not be a Marvel movie, or not be some existing IP that has been repackaged and whatever. So I don't know. It became saying things like "life is like a box of chocolates" and "Run, Forrest, Run" became part of the zeitgeist at
It
the
did.
time.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. Why we don't really have movies like that anymore. Movies that, I mean, like I keep up with movie news, so I would obviously know about newer movies coming out most of the time. But like we were talking about, you could have not have movies on your radar per se, and still know about Forrest Gump, enough that you go back to the theater for the first time in decades. And also, like you were saying, with the Oscars, like I remember, like watching the Oscars, like my parents' friends would have the Oscars on and invite us over to watch it, and my parents weren't really into movies, but you didn't have to be into movies to watch the Academy Awards. It was more part of just our ongoing popular culture that we were all aware of. And like you mentioned, the Tonight Show, that used to be like the one option of what you could watch at 11:30 at night. Like everybody watched Johnny Carson. But I think what we're getting at is that it like television movies is so much more saturated now that it's much, much harder for a movie to break through and reach somebody who's 9 years old and also somebody who's the age of Mrs. Harmon.
I think, there's a lot of good that has come from the collapse of the monoculture, right? That because there are so many streaming services and we don't all have to watch the same thing all the time. The good part of that is that no doubt so many more voices, writers, actors, producers are able to get their art out for people to see, and there aren't as many gatekeepers as there once were. I think if there's a downside to it, though, that it does lead to we have less to talk about with one another. That if you look at anything from the ratings of the Oscars, Which, as you said, at the time, were, it was like the Super Bowl, right? It was one of the highest thing rated things of the year
in terms of viewership.
Yeah, it was. They used to say it was worldwide. It was about a billion people watched it.
Yeah, and if you look at what's happened to the ratings of that over the years and everything else that's on linear TV, for that matter, it's just it's gone down and down and down. And so, what that means is, it's very possible that there's a great movie, an Oscar-winning movie, that a very small percentage of the American population has seen. And the people who are in it, who are no doubt incredibly talented, I don't know that we would call them movie stars anymore. Tom Hanks is a movie star. And so you wanted to go see Tom Hanks in the movie. I'm not sure that exists anymore. Who the actor or actress is who people would... It would be on their radar to say, well, I'm going to go see that movie they're in because that delightful Tom Hanks is in that movie.
Well, Tom Hanks is still making movies.
To be fair. I thought he died. No. No, but I think at that time, you know, he's at his pinnacle there in the mid to late 90s. I'm not sure that there's someone of his stature that is at the same age as he was, you know, at that time. That is a big hit waiting to happen.
Maybe Timothy Chalamet.
No, not even.
I'm just naming people because I want to sound like I know.
I mean, he's a
popular actors are.
Yeah, he's a fine actor, but he's not a. In my opinion, he doesn't have the star quality of a Hanks or a Tim Allen or what. I don't know what happened.
I think we're confusing films. They did work together on multiple occasions, and it was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting what you say, because the year that Forrest Gump came out, we had, well, for one thing, we get now twice as many Best Picture nominees per year.
Yeah.
That was in an effort to like get more people to start watching by hoping to hit the movie that you enjoyed. But I don't think it's been very effective because, like you said, you actually saw some of these movies, which is saying something because you don't watch movies. All right, so 1994.
I saw them before I could drive. I was a kid.
Yeah.
And yet I somehow was aware of them, so that's something.
The nominees for movies that came out in 1994, Best Picture, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I doubt you saw that.
No, I'm aware of it.
Okay. Quiz Show, directed by Robert. I actually think you would enjoy that. It's historical. It's based on the true story about the like television game shows that were rigged. And
oh, yeah.
Kind of like they would choose somebody who America could get behind and like feed them the answers beforehand as long as they swore to secrecy. And yeah, that's pretty good. It's directed by Robert Redford. The Shawshank Redemption.
I've seen it, yes.
Pulp Fiction.
I've seen it.
Really? This is pretty good.
Eventually. I do remember that was a movie that Mom and Dad rented from you know, the local video store.
Really? It doesn't seem up their alley to me.
Well, I can assure you they turned it off. I had to watch it later in life.
I doubt Mrs. Harmon asked to see that one.
No, I would imagine not.
And Forrest Gump, of course. Now, okay. Yeah. All right, so the movies that came out from last year that were nominated for Best Picture, we have the following. Emilia Perez.
Haven't seen it.
A Complete Unknown.
Is that the Bob Dylan film?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it.
Conclave.
Very popular right now, but haven't seen it.
Nickel Boys.
I have no clue what that is.
I'm Still Here.
No idea.
The Substance.
Search me. Don't know.
Dune Part 2.
I saw Dune Part 1.
That doesn't help you here. Okay. Wicked.
Yes, I saw Wicked.
Really?
I saw Wicked.
Okay. Well, I wish I could answer no to that one. Anora.
Anoa.
And The Brutalist.
No idea what that is.
Okay. Well,
I think I'm no longer allowed on your podcast.
Well, no, you've proven my point, which is that watching the Oscars used to be more of a water cooler moment. And
I did watch the Oscars this year only for Conan O'Brien, though.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's one thing.
but other than that, no.
And now watching the Oscars is more of an esoteric thing to do.
Yeah.
For better or worse. Other than what you remember about bringing Mrs. Harmon to the movies, what was your first reaction to this movie? Because 9 is, like you said, that's pretty young to see it. And yeah. I saw it, I guess I would have been around the same age because I think I saw it, it was on video, but it was shortly mm-hmm. after it came out. And I was, some of the subject matter that it deals with is pretty heavy. And I remember feeling pretty sad and like it was too much for me.
Yeah. I think I was so... I mean, I understood that it was sad, but I had so little context for some of the other things that were being dealt with in the film that it didn't bother me because I was too ignorant to be bothered by it, if that makes sense. Like I didn't understand. I didn't understand what I was seeing.
I think there are a lot of people. No, I'm thinking about there are a lot of people in the United States government that you could say that about. You're too ignorant to be bothered.
So the thing that piqued my interest though is my dad was a history teacher, just as I am now, and so I remember we were watching the movie, and you know, on the way home or whatever, I remember my mom and dad talking about some of the scenes and some of the things that of course were revolutionary at the time, putting Tom Hanks in a scene with Richard Nixon or in a scene with Lyndon Johnson. So I think listening to them talk about these events that they obviously understood, and many of them they remember happening in their lifetime, kind of made me interested. And then as I got older and I took an interest in American history, obviously, I began to understand references that I didn't before, had no clue why they were important, had no clue why the joke was funny.
Right.
I had no clue why it was funny that Forrest Gump calls at the Watergate Hotel and says there's people walking around with flashlights.
Right.
Like everyone in the theater was laughing. And I thought, well, he just seems like he's trying to be helpful to me. So, but as I've gotten older and I began studying history more, I understood the reference and the kind of whimsical nature of the film.
Do you believe that it played a part in you deciding to be a history teacher?
I think it definitely played I think it definitely played a role in making history come alive to me, mm-hmm. which is odd to say about film about a fictional character.
Right.
Right. But it's a fictional character. But the events are very real, and so it's quite possible that it took something. I think one of the problems with students of history, and I find this as a teacher, is that everything seems so foreign to kids that if you can't see it and touch it and feel it, it's difficult to learn to love it or to make it impact you. And I think that movie in its clever way about a whole host of issues, particularly issues regarding things like the Vietnam War or civil rights. I had never been exposed in any way to any of that sort of content before watching it. And so I'm sure it had it added among many other things to my interest in the topic.
Yeah, I think if there were a movie that took the major historical and cultural events from our generation and put them in movie form and we saw it. That would be, I think, very gratifying and also kind of overwhelming. Because I remember my uncle telling me why he loved that movie so much. I think it was his favorite. He said it was because, in part, it was like someone was walking him through all these moments that he remembered from his life and kind of stringing them together, threading them together. And it helped him almost like, I don't know, process it. Things that seemed too big to process at the time that the whole world was going through. If you saw it through one person's eyes, it was like it made it more coherent and kind of brought it together in a way.
Yeah, and I think that's the, you know, part of the beauty of the film is that these are, many of the events that take place are history altering events. Forrest Gump doesn't realize that, right? He's just floating on like a breeze, right? And I think the way they present it, rather than these big, gigantic, earth-shattering moments of political history and in some cases war, it's just one person's experience. And it does help, you know. I think I was talking to a student recently about some event we were studying in history, and they were saying that they talked to their mom and dad about it, and their mom and dad were like, yeah, I don't really remember, you know, I just lived through it, right? It didn't seem historical, right, when it happened. But now with hindsight, these are significant events. And I think with Forrest Gump, he doesn't realize, it's only that the viewer has hindsight, that the viewer understands that these are significant events. But to him, he's just living his life. And it's the background noise of that we all experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Forrest Gump isn't about those events. It's about one person.
Yeah.
But I think it was, I mean, this is kind of a truism, I guess, but like in filmmaking, especially, or storytelling, the more personal you get or the smaller you get, the more universal it becomes. So by focusing in on one person, fictional person, it does feel like it's about the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even though it's really about one guy. Now, you mentioned floating on the breeze like a feather. Now, the quote is, I don't know if we each have a destiny or if we're all just floating around accidental like on a breeze, but I think maybe it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think? Which of those is it, or is it both, or is it neither?
I think Forrest Gump is correct. I think it's both. I think, you know, he was talking, as I recall, about Lieutenant Dan is the influence on his life who said, we all have a purpose, and my purpose was to fight in this war, and my purpose was to die, and you stole my destiny from me. And then you had his mother who, you know, said that life's like a box of chocolates, right? You never know what's going to happen. But I think
I don't believe that was the direct quote.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think actually, isn't that one of the great misquotes? It's life is a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Not life is like a box. Kind of like Darth Vader never says, Luke, I am your father.
Correct. Yeah. I think, Forrest Gump says, Mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. But then when it shows the flashback of her actually saying it, she says, life is a box of chocolates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's true. I think both can be true. I think that I think all of us go through life completely. There are complete happenstances, right? That things happen to us, and we find ourselves in situations that don't make sense. And the only reason we're there might be random. At the same time, I don't believe that my life is meaningless. I do believe that people have a reason and a purpose to be on the planet, a greater calling and purpose, and I don't know that means we're all destined to do one thing, but so I think it can be both. I think we can live in on the planet, and we can have a purpose, and we can have meaning, and we can find meaning, and yet many of the things that occur to us are just the randomness of life. Two things can be true at the same time.
If there was going to be something like a Forrest Gump type of thing that took the major cultural moments that would mean something to our generation, what do you think some of those moments would be? I'm sure you, this is the kind of thing you stay up at night thinking about. Right or wrong?
You know what? No, you're right.
Have you ever written them down?
I haven't written them down. I've asked the same okay. question about if they rewrote We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, okay. That's a, yeah.
Well, obviously, I think some of the big things would be obviously world events like 9/11, invasion of Iraq. But I can imagine that if that movie were made today about a similar character, then rather than on the back, you know, I was showing the other day the scene from I was introducing the 1970s in detente, and when the ping pong team went to China to open up relations. And so I showed the scene for Forrest Gump. And then later, after he meets Nixon and whatever, then down the road, you see in the back, in the screen, in the back, he's not paying attention to it. It shows Nixon saying, "I shall resign the presidency yeah. at noon tomorrow." Uh-huh. I think if that movie were made today, in the back, you would see Bill Clinton denying.
Yeah, probably. Not.
You know, I think that could be on there. Obviously, I think while it would be different, I think if it was in the 1990s, things like the O.J. Simpson,
that's true.
Trial and the police chase, things like that would be on the TV.
Probably the Oklahoma City bombing, I would think.
Oh yeah.
The Columbine shooting and other school shootings.
Yeah, I think it's likely that Forrest Gump might meet someone who would be a Ted Kaczynski like character, you know. I could imagine
why Ted Kaczynski? Why did that come to your head?
Cuz I think that kind of like anti-establishment weirdo that he might run into would make an excellent person for him to interact with and not realize that this person's right. strange.
I think it would probably come across like a New York real estate tycoon with strange hair who went on to become a television celebrity and that nice young man went on to run for president, something like that.
Some years later, that nice young man ran for president.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. So no, I think it would be interesting that there may come a time where our generation is older and such movies will be made and we'll reflect back on them. And then but again, I think even with things that happened, obviously there are things that have happened in our lives that I think we understood were serious. Like we understood that 9/11 was serious. You and I were both in high school at the time. But I think of something like the Oklahoma City bombing. I recall that happening. I recall that being on TV, but I don't remember putting a whole lot of thought into it other than like, this is a sad thing, right? I didn't think of anything grand about, you know, what it meant about the status of the country and the kind of people who were out there and the kind of viewpoints they had. I just kind of lived through it as an observer from a distance. And these things that are so important and affect us lives in so a profound way, you know, to the person living in the time, if they're disconnected from there, they're just like Forrest Gump. They're just something that's on the TV.
I think it's pretty clear. I mean, well, I'll let you take it since it's one of your favorites. What is Forrest Gump about? What's it really about? What's it trying to say?
I think it's trying to say exactly what he says at Jenny's grave. This this balance between destiny and just living life. You could easily make the argument that many of the things that happened to Forrest Gump, he was destined for, right? He saved people's lives. He saved countless lives on that river in Vietnam. And yet, from his perspective, despite the many lives he saved, the most important part of him was the one life he didn't save, which was Bubba, right? That his friend, he wasn't going back into the jungle to save Lieutenant Dan or anybody else. He's going back to get his friend. And so, again, this massive thing that impacted so many people, but for him, you know, I wanted to go get my friend, and I couldn't. And or when he starts Bubba Gump Shrimp, right? He did it. He wasn't an entrepreneur. Just I promised my friend I would do this. And then when he becomes a millionaire, he invested in a fruit company, right? And he said he didn't have to worry about money anymore. Right. I said, one less thing, right? Like, it's just,
yeah.
I think, and in some ways, that's a beautiful way to go through life.
Do you think it's like one way to go through life with a lot less grief if you're just a local idiot who never thinks about the bigger picture?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, too ignorant to be bothered, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a luxury, though, you know?
It is. Yeah.
To be, now, I don't blame Forrest Gump for it, but to be blissfully ignorant by one's choosing, I should say, if you're choosing to be blissfully ignorant, that might be a less anxious way to go through life. But I don't think that it is a quite as meaningful a way to go through life, if we're choosing to. But, you know, for him, it's not something he chose. And I think he definitely did have a meaningful life, because the things that mattered to him were friendship and love and his mother and his best friend, and trying to be honest and trying to be good and trying to look out for people. And, you know, when it came to understanding the important things like love, you know, he's not a smart man, but he does know what love is, right? And so he may be ignorant of everything else, but on those things that really matter, he seems to understand it quite well.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If you have a movie that you love that you'd like to talk about, email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com, and you may be featured on an upcoming show. Please remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, and hit the subscribe button so you always know when we have a new episode released.